Today's Stripe Show podcast is brought to you by About Golf Simulators. And we're back, Stripe Show podcast, on a Thursday, an Instruction Thursday. I'm your host. I am your coach, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Appreciate you tuning in on Tuesday, Keith Stewart. That was fun. Get back into the mindset of best bets. I've got some picks in. We'll see how they do this week down in Mexico. A course designed by Tiger Woods. How about that? That was fun to break all things down there. Only three tournaments left on the PGA Tour, and then they'll take a little break off, through the holiday season, and then come back in January, and we'll kick it all off down in Hawaii, which is fun. I can remember growing up in the Pacific Northwest, Northern Idaho, you've got snow like over your head, and then you'd always look forward to those tournaments in Hawaii, blue skies, the ocean, and you just kind of lay on the couch and be like, oh man, can't wait to play golf. Can't wait to play golf. You know what though, this year, in the north, I know there's been like some pretty cold weather in certain parts and some early signs of winter. I think it's going to be a light winter. I do. I think it's going to be a light winter for you up there. I think you're going to play golf through the fall. I mean, a little chilly. You're going to have a runny nose. I get it. But with that, I think it's going to be a light winter in that there's not going to be much snow and you're going to be playing through Thanksgiving, maybe even to Christmas. I can just feel that. I've seen it. I've seen it up where I grew up, and there was some light snow, snow in the mountains and all that. But yeah, you could play golf. The ground might be a little frozen early, then it'd thaw out. You'd get out there and sweatshirt and a beanie, and your nose is running, and your hands are kind of cold, and you hit one thin and it would hurt, but yet you're playing golf. So I think I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic this winter on what's going to happen. Now, as you play golf into the fall and into the winter, I want you to continue to think about your short game. Short game has been top of discussion as of late in our industry. A friend of mine, Joe Mayo, wonderful mind, good teacher, kind of driving this narrative of this technique of moving the head forward in the backstroke and getting that low point way up and steepening that attack angle. And so much of that driven by hitting a shot that's kind of medium trajectory with some spin. And so I want to get into that a little bit. I text back and forth with Joe a little bit. He's been fantastic to me over the years. He promised me that when he does do a podcast, it will be the Stripe Show podcast. But I'm going to give you some things to think about with that technique versus some other ideas that are out there. I'm going to show you some video. And I'm also going to talk about a video that I posted on my platform using my HackMotion wrist sensor and talking about the wrist angles a little bit. So we'll get into that here momentarily. Before we get to heavy short game today on the Stripe Show podcast, I want to honor a couple heroes. Hashtag honor your heroes, part of my partnership with Vistar Credit Union. Please go to my website, travisfultongolf.com. Click on my partners page. You will see Vistar, and right there is a link to nominate your hero. Your hero in the military can be active currently or a veteran. Very excited tomorrow to play in a tournament as part of the Zellner Foundation, a group that I do some work with, and put a team in to honor some local military families that the Zellner Foundation works with and does so much for. Really, really good group. Looking forward to that tomorrow at Southampton. But here is one that came across as part of hashtag honor your hero, Vistar Credit Union. This comes from Jennifer. And she talks about her husband, Jeffrey Kennedy. And she says, I'm sure everyone believes that their loved one is a hero and should be honored. However, my husband, Jeffrey, has been through so much in his life. I truly admire Jeffrey in his constant positive attitude. Jeffrey helped his mom, who had cancer, go from being homeless and making her life much better. In 2018, he watched his stepsons join the Army and decided at 33 years old to enlist. It was challenging in some aspects, but he never gave up. Jeffrey was stationed at Fort Drum, where he deployed to Afghanistan in 2019, just a few short months of arriving. Jeffrey went almost the whole deployment without injury, until seriously injuring his foot running from an incoming rocket. Jeffrey, we thank you for your service. Thank you, Jennifer, for acknowledging him. I want to read a second one. This one comes from Nikki Dinkins. Nikki's going to nominate herself. Over 20 years of dedication to the United States Air Force, Nikki loves her country with everything in her. It's been an honor, she says, to serve alongside all the branches, and I feel that the women who serve don't get enough recognition. It's always been, oh, your husband, when in fact women serve and still raise families too. It's an honor to have worn the uniform for so many years and continue to do so. Nikki, let me acknowledge you and say thank you to you and all of the other females that are serving in our country, men and women. Thank you that are serving, and also the men and women that are back home, those military families that may not be in Afghanistan, that may not be over in the Middle East, but are at home as part of military families raising their family right here. And I look forward to being a part of that tomorrow, the Zellner Foundation and the tournament at Southampton. Vistar Credit Union does so many wonderful things, and this is just one of them. Hashtag honor your hero. Please go nominate your hero. There are so many really cool things that are happening from this, including a chance to win lessons with me, including a chance to win PXG club fitting, tickets to a number of games, et cetera, et cetera. It's a wonderful initiative. And that leads me down a quick little announcement here. As of today, I've signed a contract with a new partner, and that is TruSpec. TruSpec is a leader in premier club fitting. Now, up to this point, I've only had PXG in here, and you can see on my wall right there, there used to be a mirror, and I had to move it down. And if I panned over, there's this big area where there's going to be a really cool cabinet that's being put in. And in that cabinet is going to be every vendor now. TruSpec has every vendor: Titleist, TaylorMade, Ping, Srixon, Mura, Cobra, PXG, et cetera, et cetera. And they have all the shafts. I'm telling you, they are the leader in premier club fitting. And as of today, Travis Fulton Golf Studio and TruSpec are aligned. So I am pumped. They will be doing a full install here on November 17th, and we will be live with full club fittings in the studio with TruSpec starting November 20th. So I'm very excited about that. Quick shout out to them, and we appreciate everyone listening here. And maybe, you know, look, maybe you want to take a little trip to Florida. You know, maybe I'm wrong and there's a little snow up there, and you're like, hey, I got to get down to Florida. I'm going to take a couple lessons with Travis, maybe have TruSpec look at my driver or my irons or whatever the case may be. So I'm just throwing that out there. All right, let's get into it. Little instruction. I just did this video, okay? I'm going to bring in Max Homa. There's Max Homa, little green side pitch. You can see that's a good lie right there. And for those that are not watching, I'm going to really articulate my point in what I'm watching. Now, I'm wearing my HackMotion wrist sensor. I did a video around this particular technique right there. And when you watch Max, his head's just very steady. I mean, he's not moving his head excessively towards the target. He's keeping his head very centered right there over it. Stays there. Excuse me. And then he rotates through. The one thing I want to call out attention to is his left wrist right there. Okay. Now, if I was to draw a line on his left arm and the club shaft, there's not a lot of what we call radial deviation in that, or wrist cock. Now, the cool thing with my HackMotion is I can measure that vertical motion, right? That up and down radial to ulnar. And that lack of radial deviation is something that you see a lot with this green side technique. Good life. That ball was sitting down in the rough, then you're going to start seeing a little bit more radial. But for me, I would measure it with my HackMotion and how much radial, and it'd be about 8 degrees right there. Now, the one thing that I see a lot with amateurs on this shot is I see an excessive amount of radial deviation. I see way too much radial where that shaft would get, you know, closer to 90 degrees at that point. It's not wrong to do that. It's another way of hitting this shot. There's a time to do that. There's a time to take on a lot of radial where you're trying to get a little steeper, you're trying to throw it up in the air, like a lob shot, like a bunker shot. But in the stock greenside pitch that's being so thoroughly discussed right now, this is a technique that I see a lot. That's Max Homa right there. Very, very subtle radial deviation. Now we take it to here. This is Matthew Fitzpatrick. He hits these shots cross-handed. Look at that. That's a pretty passive lead wrist, isn't it? It's amazing the amount of DMs that I got from this post saying, hey, this is my measurement right there. That's not a lot, folks. Look at that left arm and shaft. Very subtle angle there. Again, 8 degrees of radial as measured where I like to be with my hack motion. I also hit a shot about trying to do the same distance, and I doubled the amount of radial, and that shaft got closer to 90 degrees in my left arm. And I felt the need to kind of, you know, do some other things to try to hit that same shot. Now, higher skilled players can do that. They can make those things work. But I think for a stock shot, I like this right here. I like this. I like teaching this to people. Kind of that wider backswing. You know, a lot of them kind of stay wide coming through. The ones that are trying to really clip it, get some more friction, more spin, like they'll cut it off a little bit more. So it'll kind of be like this wide going back to narrow. Watch this. This is Will Zalatoris before his back. Will kind of does go a little forward. Look at that. His head actually does go a little bit towards the target, but then he, watch his head, it kind of backs up just a little bit. But when I look at this technique again, for those just listening here, I've got this arrow going up to his left wrist halfway back, and right there about waist high, there's not a lot of angle between the left arm and the shaft. Just not. So it's very wide going back. It's very wide. And then as he comes down, the club head hits the ground. He's turning his chest through. Now look at here. You know, you look at it coming through. Not a lot of radial coming through either. Hack Motion is an innovative wrist analysis sensor and app that measures players' wrist and hand movement in the golf swing. With audio feedback and different drill modes, it offers the capability to improve players' wrist mechanics in the golf swing to provide a better club face control and impact position. Hack Motion can be used for both full swing and putting to cover all golf shots. Hack Motion is used by some of the top golf coaches today around the world. Visit hackmotion.com. One concept that I really like is when you, I'm gonna really try to articulate this, okay? And I was talking to Parker McLaughlin about this technique. And this goes kind of in line with what I'm talking about here in measuring this wrist angle through my hack motion. If you were to set up to this greenside pitch, right, and you get the grip in your fingers, your feet are together, and you're kind of on, you know, you're a little on top of it, and we're just going to hit this little 15-yard greenside pitch, medium trajectory. And you notice that when you set up, if you were to look under your left hand and you were to look at, there's a subtle angle there between the butt of the club and the left wrist, right? There'd be a subtle angle. Now, if you took your left wrist and you went into ulnar, and I can measure that with my hack motion, I go into ulnar, uncocking my wrist, pushing my thumb down, you would feel the shaft then get in line with your left arm. Like the butt of the club would be up against the bottom of your left wrist, right? So it'd be a straight line. And that ulnar kind of zeroes out that wrist angle or that angle, potential angle between the butt of the club and your left forearm. So we can set up like that in putting. We can set up like that in a greenside chip where it's a low bump and run. But, you know, when we want to get a little more trajectory, we've got to put a little bit of radial in there, right? There's got to be some angle there between the butt of the club and the bottom of your wrist. Now, if you imagine that I came in and I just took a styrofoam and I just kind of wedged it in there, right? and I just kept that constant. And you took it back and you didn't increase that radial. You just kept that constant. And then you turned through and you just kept that constant. And that angle, as identified, between the butt of the club underneath and your left forearm. Okay. The golfing machine called that the left forearm wedge, which was, I always liked that. And to me, that left forearm wedge and that angle was very helpful in the world of precision, in particularly in the short game shot, in this greenside pitch shot. And that's what you're seeing, I think, here with a lot of these techniques. Again, here's Max Homa. Like that angle there underneath there is just kind of staying constant. That's what you're seeing here with Will Zalatoris, right? Like that angle underneath there between the left forearm, okay, and the butt of the club feels the same right there as it did at address. And it probably feels the same to him at impact, and it feels the same to him right there. Here's another technique. This is Cam Smith. This dude is one of the best greenside pitchers in the game. I mean, this guy can hit shots in his sleep. Watch this. This is a little bigger shot. And you can see right there, his left arm is about 9 o'clock, and that shaft is pointing 10, certainly not pointing at 12. And this is a little bigger shot. So again, a pretty passive lead wrist, all in all. A little bigger finish. But that concept does kind of remain the same. So I guess my point is be careful in this discussion in the amount of radial that you put into this. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. There's times for it. But when I'm teaching this stock greenside pitch, you know, I kind of like what I'm seeing with these guys. It's Matthew Fitzpatrick and, you know, feeling it right there. And it feels the same at impact, and it feels the same coming through. And then if you really want to get dialed in, then you find and you educate that number completely. And that's what I did the other day and posted it using my hack motion. So anyway, those are some videos that I think are helpful that kind of illustrate those wrist angles. Now, I want to get back to the discussion of kind of steepening this attack angle and getting the leading edge a little bit more on the ground, all of these things, right? You know, I think it's really important that when you kind of go through these discussions that you acknowledge that, look, there's a lot of value in what someone is saying, right? Like I never will just turn it off and say, look, that's not for me. Like you're going to listen, especially when it's Joe Mayo, right? And especially when you have other top teachers that are doing research and they bring it out. It may not be exactly what you're going to show every single person. It may not be exactly what maybe you believe in as the foundation, but it is something that you're going to listen to and you're going to probably incorporate in some way. This particular technique of steepening the attack angle and moving your head towards the target as you go back with the weight forward and all those things, getting the leading edge on the ground is a shot that has been around forever, is a shot and a technique that has a lot of value, a shot that you see down in the South in Texas. It was fun to have Pearson and Parker Cootie on and, you know, growing up on those firm fairways and the wind and the green complexes, like that's a shot you see a lot from those guys down there. Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler are magicians. But it doesn't mean that it's the shot that it needs to be learned perhaps and is best for, let's say, an amateur player. One of the things that I try to do is I've always tried, and I go back to my days on Golf Channel, and it stays true today with the Stripe Show podcast. I really try to articulate and stay with the amateur audience as much as I can, okay, the amateur player. It doesn't mean that you can't go take that technique if you're a 15 handicap and apply it to you and have some value with it. It doesn't mean that. But where I would rest on this particular topic is I go back to, you know, one of the things that I oftentimes say to people, amateur players, single digits, mid handicap, new player in short game is, look, I want to create an environment here in hitting short game shots where the club head can hit down and we can control the point of entry. The club head can hit down, but it won't dig. And if it digs, it's going to be, it's going to be something that we're going to tell it to dig, or it's going to be few and far in between. Like, we're going to try to create an environment, a technique where the club head can hit down and control that point of entry, but also it won't dig and it will get out of the ground. And I go back to my, and I had this conversation with a very, very good teacher and a very good player. I go back to my younger days, thinking about leaning the shaft excessively forward, kind of standing off to the side with some side bend to the right. And I go back to hitting these shots, and I was a pretty decent player, and I could, you know, hit the low and the medium and the high. I wasn't as good and as confident with probably the upper medium to the high. I was better at, you know, kind of keeping it down low and bump and run, those kinds of things. But I go back to my thought of, okay, I would lay the sod over it probably once every, I don't know, 12 to 15 shots. Sometimes it felt like it was every other shot. A leading edge would get caught. And sometimes, you know, it wouldn't take much, right? You know, growing up, it was wet in the Northwest, and you know, you would get the bent grass, right? And sometimes playing in the tighter bent grass and a little bit of the mud. And so, like, you had to use leaning edge some, but I can remember, like, using it too much. And I would lay the sod over, and it would just stick in my mind, like, okay, when's it going to show up? When's it going to show up that I'm going to lay the sod over? And I'm telling you, I would put the weight left. I mean, I'd go more left, more left, more left. And I'd be like off sides. I mean, I'd be out in front. And yeah, I mean, it's steeper. You know, it was steeper and I could hit it. But that leading edge, and it's probably because of my lack of skill, and I'm not Victor Hovland, and I'm not Jordan Spieth, and I'm not Scotty Scheffler, not many are. Man, that leading edge would peel it, and it'd be like just little, just, you know, nicks across my arm. When's it going to show up? And then, you know, you'd kind of anticipate it, and then your hand, you know, you start trying to goose it a little bit, and then you'd blade it and go across the green, and now where are you? And so I think back to that journey, right? I think back to that journey. I think back to all of the amateurs that I've worked with. I think back to some of the professionals that I've worked with. And I still believe that concept of creating an environment, a technique that you can control the point of entry and it won't dig, applies to so many. And I'm talking the masses of amateur golfers that are out there. And yes, giving yourself a little relief, giving yourself a little window that you don't have to be so perfect. Okay, I did hit behind that just a bit, but it did go up in the air and it's on the green. Now, that'd not be great. No, you don't want that for Victor Hovland, no. 20 handicap that's used to laying the sod over it. You know, so these are the conversations that I've had and experiences that I've had. And so as I really think through the short game and understand the different techniques and style, I still kind of just, for the masses and my audience here today and the amateur golfer, creating an environment where you can hit down, control that point of entry until the club head won't dig. You can go with it. You don't fear the leading edge laying the sod over. You don't feel like you have to goose it. You can let the club head do the work. I mean, you can utilize the bounce a little bit. So that's something that I feel like, you know, look, that's part of so much of what we talked about here in the Stripe Show podcast. I go back to a lot of the conversations I had with Todd Soans when I worked with Todd. Todd's a wonderful short game teacher, great guy. I've learned so much from him. And He was one. This was probably, let's see, this was probably 17 years ago down at the World Golf Village, the very first PGA Tour Academy. Todd would always talk about a concept of standing to the handle. And you would take the handle and you would position it wherever you wanted it. So you'd set the club face first, then the shaft, and then you would stand to it. And stand to the handle means basically you're positioning your body to the handle. The butt of the club is pointing just kind of left of your belt buckle. And then from there, you would, you know, get your sternum where you wanted it and off you go. And so in a greenside chip, and these are all concepts and things that I talk about in my training program too, by the way, Strokes and Short Game, which is on my website, travisfultongolf.com. It's a series of shots. And I do a video about standing to the handle and learning to set the face first, then the shaft, stand to it, grip it, and then off you go. And in a greenside chip, a bump and run, you would stand the handle upright a little bit. You would lean it slightly forward, then stand to it. And then you would grip it, get your sternum where you want it, and off you go. So it's Todd would always say up 4 degrees, over 4 degrees, stand to the handle. And it's a pretty conservative amount of shaft lean. It's forward, right? You got to have some forward shaft lean. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have it. Like it's forward. But then you stand to it, and then you get yourself kind of your shoulders very level. One of the things that I like to do in controlling the point of entry, and this was another video that I shot, and I actually put it in my story. I should post it. But if you were to put your arms out, and I'm just kind of, I got my arms extended out in front of me right now, or to my side, fully extended out to my side. And so my shoulders right now are level. Now I can tilt my spine to the right and my left shoulder goes up. I can tilt my spine to the left and my left and my right shoulder goes up, or my right arm. So in the full, sorry, I know what's going on here. Sheesh. Maybe I'm getting a runny nose right now and in the throat. In the full swing, we have a little side bend to the right. Like we tilt a little bit. The left shoulder's higher. Okay. In short game, we kind of want to start getting rid of that some. And so what I like to do is have a player level their shoulders out. You know, they stand to the handle. They get their shoulders feel like it's pretty level. I mean, the left shoulder is probably always going to be a little higher, but they feel like their shoulders are more level. And when they do that and they put their weight slightly left, that sternum, that top button on your shirt gets, you know, over the ball or a little in front of the ball. You could take it a step further and say, all right, your shoulders are level and slightly open. So shoulders are level and slightly open. And when you do that with the weight slightly left, again, sternum out in front. More conservative shaft lean. Shoulders level, slightly open, and the weight slightly left. Really good environment. Point of entry doesn't dick. Okay? That's the chipping technique that I talk about in strokes gain, short gain. So you take that to a greenside pitch. Now the grip's more in your finger. It's not going to be upright, although when I had Luke Donald on, he hits these shots pretty upright. So it's kind of more in your finger. So you got a little angle there, as I talked about, between the grip in and the bottom of the left wrist. And I talk about this in the greenside pitch, stock greenside pitch, and how to just kind of feel like you maintain that angle, turning back and turning through. Very wide approach. Again, shoulders more level, slightly open with the weight left. And so all of these things just kind of build on each other, right? Now, I didn't go shaft excessively forward. I didn't go weight excessively forward. I didn't lean the head left in the backswing. These are just greenside pitch shots. You can control the point of entry. Control the club head coming out of the ground. Now, can you get steeper on that shot? Sure. Right? And that's kind of, you build on it. And that's another shot that you build off of. But again, I think that's that you got to get into building some skill before that. And then you can start adding some of those components and start getting a little steeper on it, et cetera, et cetera. No question about it. Love it. But I would say probably that stock greenside shot that I'm talking about and the technique that I just played here with Max Homa and Fitzpatrick and Zalatoris and all those things probably go a little bit more in line with this, which is getting the leading edge off the ground a little bit more, still controlling the point of entry, still getting plenty of spin, still getting that launch in the 30-degree number, all of those things. So, look, it's interesting, right? And, you know, I just I find myself talking to my audience in a way that, I go back to the experiences that I've had that really seem to resonate with the masses of golfers and the skill sets that they need to learn at that point in time. And then being able to then build off of those with a deeper discussion and more skilled types of shots that I think you see with Victor Hovland. And like you see with what I think is a more skilled technique that Joe puts out there with the steeper attack angle and moving the low point and getting the leading edge on the ground and all those things. Not wrong. It's great. It's good stuff. I love it. I just am careful in speaking to the masses with it. That's all. And knowing that their hands are not as educated. They're not controlling their body movements. Their spatial awareness is not as good. They don't have the same experiences that Victor Hovland has had to that point. Because make no mistake, look, Victor Hovland, since going to that, he has gained full control of his ball. Full control. I mean, it's been unbelievable what it's done for him by going through that. The sequence, I think, in him going left and the weight and all that, boy, it's just made all the difference in the world. All right, enough on that. Strokes and short game. Go check it out. Some good videos in there. And check out the video I did on this. This stock shot that I talk about, and what you're seeing here with Zalatoris and Cam and all that, and educating that left hand. Look, that's got a ton of value now. That's got a ton of value. Standing to the handle, got a ton of value. Shoulders level and slightly open. Weight slightly left. It's got a ton of value. All these things that I've kind of laid out in a very process-oriented way, starting with the greenside chip, then into the stock greenside pitch, and then into, you know, a little steeper pitch and some of those components that we talked about, into like a toss shot, which is like 30, 40, 50 yard shot, to a approach wedge, lob, bunkers, a lot of good stuff in there. There really is. And it's really geared towards the amateur player. Thank you for being here. Light winter ahead. I can feel it. Light winter ahead. True spec. They're moving in. Next level here, Travis Holton Golf Studio. Thank you for being here on the Stripe Show podcast. Thank you, Vistar Credit Union. You do great work. Zellner Foundation, I'll see you tomorrow out at Southampton. I'll talk to the rest of you next week. Got some cool guests coming in November before Thanksgiving. See you.